So now I'm obsessed with time. Come on, tell me about the time. Had it all in my head tonight. Had the time of my life. When the words
are we? Let's just get into it.
Yeah, okay? Welcome to.
Ladies and gentlemen, I hate when I say ladies and gentlemen, don't you?
You say start with welcome to another episode. You always say that part.
Do you want to say it this time?
No.
Okay. Because you have a good voice, a sexy voice.
Well, I can if you want.
Yeah, try it.
Welcome to another episode.
Oh, that sucks. You're stupid.
You.
No, I'm just kidding. Okay, try it again, but not so much like this.
Okay. Welcome to another episode of
American.
No. Just American Timelines.
American.
No, it's stupid.
You want to leave that in?
No.
You want to start it again?
Welcome to another episode of
American Timelines. That's hard not to go American.
I know, it's just stupid. This is episode 1996.
You know, we're getting going here. Episode 7. We've done 7. This will be the 7th. This is now a thing.
This is our thing.
We do this thing. We're getting out there.
We're going to talk less about ourselves.
No, I'm still going to talk about myself.
No more high school stories, I promise.
Well, we're out of high school, so those are over.
Personal anecdotes.
We're getting going here. If you're listening, thank you. Some of you are listening, and we didn't know you were listening. I found out this week some people are listening. We're on iTunes.
Stitcher.
We're on one that I just downloaded. It's called CastBox. It's really cool for Android.
Okay.
It's pretty good. So you can get us on there.
You got Patreon.
Oh, yeah. We're now on Patreon, which I'm not sure how that works really, but if you just look us up right now, I think I can share a link or something. But if you look us up on American Timelines on Patreon, you can give us money.
Yeah.
Because I know you all have been like, everybody's been like, man, how do we just give them some money?
I know, right? So let's go into 1996.
1996.
What happened, honey, in 1996?
I've got a new feature this week decided to start with. You're going to love this. Bands who broke up in 1996.
It's not really that.
Bands who broke up. Four Non Blondes broke up.
Okay.
House of Pain broke up in 96.
Oh, wow, okay.
The Ramones didn't break up till 96.
Oh, wow.
Doesn't that seem weird? Yeah. Fleetwood Mac.
They were together until 96?
All the way until 96, apparently, according to Wikipedia.
So they were all doing it with each other.
Were they really?
Yeah, Stevie Nicks, I guess, was doing it with all of them, I guess.
Stevie Nicks was hot. It's just that voice. Like, you put that voice on a moose, and I would want to bang it.
That's a little weird. A little bit weird.
Well, who doesn't want to bang a moose with a Stevie Nicks voice? Sublime broke up in 96.
I remember them.
I feel like, I can't believe they were even
a thing
around that much before 96. They must not have been around that long.
Yeah, I don't think they were.
Harold Melvin and the Blue Notes.
Don't know that.
Harold Melvin and the Blue Notes. You'll never go platinum. Snoop Dogg has that on the thing. Okay. Extreme.
Oh, yeah. More Than Words.
Yeah. They broke up in 96. So, again, they must not have been around that much longer either. And the worst one, the saddest one, the one that I want to pour out of 40 right now of Hop Slam is Rex and Effects.
Oh, my God. Rump Shaker. Is that right? Okay.
That's the greatest song. That's still to this day regarded in lots of circles as the greatest American song.
That is awesome.
Rex and Effects, I make you.
Rump Shaker.
Booties of the cutie, steady shaking, but relaxing. The action is packed in a jam like a closet, babe, by naked. Yep. Cold flow like a faucet.
All right.
Make the hottest with that body. Take it, rump. I like the way you comb your hair.
Enough.
I like the stylish clothes you wear. Omar. It's just little things you do. So one thing I found while I was looking this tidbit up on Wikipedia, so I just picked a few.
Yes.
There was like 50.
Well,
and most of them were bands nobody's ever heard of.
Right.
And the fun thing about that was the names of some of these bands that none of us heard of are hilarious. And so now I have another list of bands who were formed in 1996.
Okay.
So there's some bad ones. Three Doors Down was formed in 96.
What'd they sing?
I don't even know. Okay. It's something you would know. Like, if we looked it up, it'd be like some song that was on the radio for a while that you're like, oh, God, this sucks. What I call Abner music.
Yeah, right.
Brad Abner is a guy we know. He talks like this. He always was famous for everything he liked sucked.
Brad, if you're listening, call in.
Oh, he knows. Yeah. He knows that everything. Although I recently admitted that I like the Oasis songs that I gave him so much shit for. I now like them. So I don't know if it's just me being old, or you know how you get more feminine as you get older as a man. You lose your...
There's something wrong with you.
Not feminine, but I just, like, I cry a lot sometimes. Like, I cry like myself to sleep sometimes.
Yeah, a lot of the time.
No, those car insurance commercials make me cry. That one where the little girl goes off and it's... Oh, that makes me cry. Anyway, so now I like Oasis. But some of these bands, have you ever heard of the Acapellas?
No.
Me neither. But I love that name. Oh, this is the best. The best band that was formed in 96. Mm-hmm. It was called Alabama Thunder Pussy.
Jeez.
I love it. And you look at their picture on Wikipedia. What do you suppose they
shirtless guys.
They look like a bunch of rednecks with long hair. And
just reminds me of those bad album covers.
1996.
Alien Ant Farm, do you know who they are?
Yeah. They did
I know what you're
Michael
say,
Jackson
that
cover.
That remix, yeah. Smooth Criminal, right?
That's right, Smooth Criminal.
That's all I know him for. They might have done more, but yeah, that was cool.
That was a good time.
Animal Chin was a band that was formed in 96.
That's pretty dumb.
Big Ass. There's a band called Big Ass. I don't know what they do. Coldplay, another shitty band that formed in 96.
Yep.
I don't know what they sing either, but it's all crap.
Crash Into You, that's the one I remember.
Is that Coldplay?
Uh-huh, I'm pretty sure.
No, that's Dave Matthews.
Oh, you might be right.
Yeah,
I think the same thing.
Just a shit. I think Coldplay's a little bit more like rock. Like more.
Oh, it is. Like, isn't who Gwyneth Paltrow's married to, the Coldplay guy?
I think
or
she's
the Dave Matthews guy.
She's married to all of them.
Yeah. I'm telling you, it's the same people.
Well, and all of her children are named after fruit.
Yeah, that's true.
There's apple. There's rutabaga.
Yep.
The weather in 96. January 1st, the weather
was. No. I'm not going to go through every day of the year.
I've printed out the weather for every day of the year. And the highs in each major city.
The Farmer's Almanac.
I got the highs and lows of each major city of every day. No, we're going to go through those and just read them.
Thanks, anyway.
72.
No.
And then January 2nd, it was 79.
It was warm. All right.
Well, in Bermuda. Okay. All over the world.
All right.
Okay, I won't do that. No, but this is a weather thing, the first thing.
Okay.
A cyclone formed over Lake Huron.
Oh.
With tropical characteristics, nicknamed Hurricane Huron. The storm had a maximum speed of 73 miles per hour.
Okay.
Don't usually have a cyclone in a lake, so that's an amazing thing.
What's the difference between a cyclone and a tornado and a hurricane? Like, what? I know that a tornado's on land, a hurricane comes off the ocean, but then what's a cyclone? What's the difference?
She moves her body like a cyclone,
you just don't
like a cyclone. Remember that song?
No, but you just don't know the answer, do you?
Well, a typhoon is a wrestler.
I did not ask about typhoon.
Earthquake and typhoon were two wrestlers.
All right. I didn't ask about either of those things.
I thought it'd be a good segue, though.
All right. What else happened in that?
I don't know. Tornado is a... There's probably a... Do we got to do that research?
We're stupid.
Then we'll have to do corrections and apologies. Well, this episode, just so you know, we're going to save our corrections and apologies for the end. We had a few angry letters. actually, rabid angry, like really angry. Actually, some death threats. If we don't save the corrections and apologies for the end. Because some people just want to listen and jump right in. They don't want to hear about and some people might, episode. Like, hey, I'm not going back to 1990 and starting your stupid podcast from the beginning, you idiots. I'm only listening to your stupid podcast as a favor to you. So I'm just going to pick up.
That's what most.
Or 95 or 96.
99.9% of the people are saying.
They don't want to listen to crap from the previous one's corrections. So put it at the end so we can turn it off and
then
go about our day and stop doing your stupid favor of listening to your stupid podcast. Why are you doing a podcast anyway? Why don't you clean the house? anyway, so those are the letters. So we're saving that to the end.
Yep.
1996,
y'all. The top song of 1996, the number one song the whole year.
Yeah.
You want to guess at all? No.
I
you won't
just
be able to guess.
Yeah, I won't. Tell me who it's by.
Okay, it's by a person that has hair.
All right, tell me who it's by. You got to tell me who it's by.
Okay, then you'll know immediately, but I'll tell you.
I might not.
It's by No Doubt.
Oh, so Don't Speak?
Don't Speak.
Is that it?
Okay. I know what you're doing.
They had a bunch of good ones, though. So I didn't know. That was...
Yeah, and Gwen Stefani is very, very,
very
attractive. She's very cute, pretty face. And,
she is still.
Yeah, she's still spunky and cute. And she's no longer married to Gavin Rosdale.
Oh, I know.
You know who that is?
Yeah. Bush or something?
Yeah, lead singer Bush. So Bush came out with an album in 96.
Okay.
And I was going to make our daughter like...
Listen to it or something.
Well, because Bush songs, I feel like more than any other grunge band... The lyrics make no sense at all. Like,
I never listened to the lyrics, though.
They don't make any sense. Like, it's like suitcase,
like less than Beck.
Like Beck. Okay. Just like Beck. It's I've got a razor blade suitcase, mama. I got a tree fork squirrel butt. Got a squirrel butt. You know, it's just like, none of it, like, it's just words together. It's like he was looking around the room. I got a lamp.
Yeah.
Bucket bean bag dog. So I don't know. Maybe they mean something. Anyway, Gwen Stefani, top song, Don't Speak. Tickle Me Elmo was introduced in 1996.
Yes.
That was annoying as balls, especially like we were young college students. Oh, you know what happened in 96? I met you.
That's right.
We met.
That's right. We did.
The greatest couple in the world met each other, but we didn't date each other.
We didn't get into
in 96.
We didn't get involved until 97. So.
Yeah, you were unavailable.
Well, you were
emotionally.
Too. You were too, if I might remind you.
But fate brought us together. This podcast would have never happened if 96 hadn't happened. So there we go. Episode 7 gets right into us meeting each other. Amy came from Southeast Missouri State University and showed up in Huron, Ohio for the Huron Playhouse.
That's right.
And then I met her there and I was like, oh, she's cute. What's up with this?
All right, what else happened in 96? Not talking about ourselves so much.
You know what? People like it. Some people, I've had a couple letters people wrote in and said, please
nobody's
talk about yourselves
nobody's
more.
Nobody's sending letters.
There's letters.
Stop it.
There's letters.
Stop it, nonsense.
But it was annoying when we were in college and Tickle Me, and we were like, we didn't care about anything about children. And we,
that's true.
We didn't hate kids.
1996.
There are two things this episode that are going to make us probably
feel old.
Well, no, just regret things we've said on previous podcasts.
Oh,
and
boy.
There's somebody we've disparaged in a previous podcast. I honestly don't remember which one. It might have been the last episode. It might have been a couple. But Tom Cruise.
Oh.
You know, we talked about him just being a worthless piece of shit and a terrible
true.
Actor and an awful. Yeah. But I don't know. There's two things this year that I found in here that I'm probably going to say that might change
your
opinion.
Change your tune a little bit.
So, in 96, Tom Cruise was sailing in his yacht off the island of Capri.
Douchebag.
Yeah. That was it. He was sailing in his yacht. So,
that,
does that make you
change
your...
No. Not at all.
He was sailing in his yacht, so that's kind of shitty he's got a yacht. But, of course,
right,
what's he supposed to do?
Would.
Not buy a yacht?
That's
or
true.
Just because he's like, oh, yes, I'm the most famous actor in the world, but I want to stay humble, so I'm not going to buy a yacht. No,
right.
You're going to buy a yacht. It's fine.
All right. What else?
Anyway, he was sailing in his yacht off the island of Capri, and he saw a sinking sailboat in flames. He immediately set sail toward the accident and pulled the five victims to safety.
Oh, wow.
Yeah.
Well, that's pretty good.
So there's a lot of
Tom Cruise.
There's a lot of stories like that that I feel like they come up in chunks.
Yeah.
Wait, come
chunks.
Up in chunks.
That doesn't sound good.
But like lots of times, because I just read about the other day another famous actor saving somebody's life.
Oh, yeah.
And the thing is, I think in general, as a human, when you see someone struggling in panic, you're going to help them.
Yeah.
You're not going to hear about it unless it's Tom Cruise or
right.
Kevin Bacon or Ron Glass.
Ron Glass.
Well, I mean, I'm sure, I guarantee if you Google Ron Glass right now, he's probably saved hundreds of thousands of people.
Ooh,
Ron Glass is the greatest actor in American history. But let's jump right to what you care about for the Super Bowl. It's Vanessa Williams.
I don't care about that.
She sang the national anthem, and you critiqued it.
No.
And now, without further ado, Amy's critique.
I did not. I didn't see it.
Okay. But do you think she probably did good?
I guess. I can't remember. She sang a song.
Now, there was two Vanessa Williamses, right?
No. Just the
no, there was
Miss
like,
America. No, she's the same gal. She's a Miss America, then she had a singing career.
But there was that, and then there was like a porn star.
No, she was her.
She did porn too?
After she won Miss America, they took her crown away because they found out she had done porn.
It's the same one?
Yes.
You're sure? There's just one Vanessa Williams, not two Vanessa Williams.
Yes.
Oh, here's the biggest thing about the Super Bowl, that another quirky thing that you'll actually might care about.
Yeah.
A portion of this Super Bowl was predicted 6 years earlier by NBC series, probably the greatest NBC series of all time, Quantum Leap.
Yeah. They predicted?
Yeah, in the January 17th, 1990 episode, All Americans, Dean Stockwell says in a conversation with Sam, Scott Bakula, Sam, I've been watching Super Bowl 30.
Was that Super Bowl 30?
Yeah. And he says, ooh, Sam, the Steelers are down by 3. You wouldn't believe. And the Steelers were the AFC team in the game, and they did trail by 3 twice in the game.
Did they say anything about the Cowboys?
No, but the critical turning point of the game, they were down by 3, 20-17. And ultimately gave the Cowboys the win and would lend credence to Al's suspense at the game's ending.
What? Lend credence to what?
To his suspense, like so, in the thing, it was like, oh, Sam, oh, the Steelers are down by 3, and he was all excited and like in suspense.
So
towards the end of the game,
really
they were down by 3 up until the game, so it could have been a real thing.
So they really did a quantum leap.
It was a real quantum leap. It was the only ever recorded quantum leap.
And that's what they wasted it on.
Quantum Leap is actually a documentary. I don't know if you know this, but it's the greatest
what
show.
Else is there?
Oh, man, the Yankees beat the Braves in the World Series. Derek Jeter was a rookie. Mm-hmm. Do you know who Derek Jeter is?
Yes.
He dated Jessica Biel and Mariah Carey.
Okay.
But you didn't know that.
I don't care.
You know, why don't you care about Derek Jeter? Remember I told you about the Royal Rumble last time?
Yes.
I explained to you. Remember last episode, Shawn Michaels won the Royal Rumble?
Uh-huh.
Well, he won it again this next year.
Well, what kind of show is that?
He's like the hero. They all love him. He's trying to make it.
Why did they get him twice?
He was a pretty guy. He was part of the Rockers. See, Shawn Michaels and Marty Jannetty were the Rockers. They were like rock and roll guys. They had mullets.
Yeah.
And Shawn Michaels was the blonde. Marty Jannetty was the brunette. They were like the Duke Boys or something, but they had like...
Brunette. I don't think you call men brunettes.
You can. It's a brown hair. What is he, a brownette?
I think that's like saying a man's wearing a top.
You say he's
like
a blonde.
You don't say men wear tops.
But you say he's a blonde. Why can't you say he's a brunette?
I don't know. It just sounds like a girly.
You need to. There are no genders anymore.
That's
okay.
True. I guess you're right.
You don't stereotype.
I stand corrected.
Okay. Thank you.
So quit screaming at me.
Women's lib. It's a new world. Okay.
Quit your screaming and yelling.
Genders don't really matter.
You're starting to froth at the mouth.
We need to be gender neutral here. All right.
All right.
Jesus.
What were you going to tell me about stupid Royal Rumble?
I was going to tell you about the Rockers. Shawn Michaels and Marty Jannetty were this great team, right? They jump everywhere and jump on everybody and kick everybody. And then Shawn Michaels became a superstar, winning Royal Rumbles, mm-hmm. and Marty Jannetty is somewhere in a back alley.
Oh, it's like Ryan Seacrest
dick for crack.
Ryan Seacrest and
Brian Dunkelman.
That's right.
That's right. That's exactly
like
right.
That.
Marty Jannetty is the Brian Dunkelman of the WWE. Oh, right. My God. This is the greatest moment of my life.
That's right.
Thank you so much for this.
Yeah,
this is
well,
the biggest,
you're welcome.
The best present you've ever given to me.
Yep, yep.
Oh, my God. Marty Jannetty is the Brian Dunkelman of the WWE. Oh, my God. This is great. So anyway, Shawn Michaels won the Royal Rumble, and then he went on to WrestleMania 12 to wrestle Bret the Hitman Hart for the WWE title.
Okay.
I decided to look up who the remarkable wrestling debuts were in that year, and you're going to like this one.
Oh, I am.
1996, The Rock.
I do enjoy The Rock.
You know what?
He's a hot man.
Now, that is unacceptable.
Honey, you kind of look like The Rock.
Now, I used to. Now I look like a fat Elvis.
You do not.
I look like a fat Elvis impersonator.
No, you don't.
Yeah. So The Rock started in wrestling. Hulk Hogan became a villain for the first time in wrestling.
Yeah.
In the WCW. And he was part of this whole thing, the New World Order. Do you mm-hmm. remember that? The NWO formed.
Why would I remember that? You remember that.
When Hulk Hogan turned bad and he put on...
Why would I even know that?
Well, he formed at the July 96 Bash at the Beach pay-per-view with Scott Hall and Kevin Nash.
Oh, my God.
They were called the Outsiders.
Somebody shoot me. All right, what's next? Can we get off of wrestling now?
New World Order. Actually, yes, that's it.
For wrestling.
I will never talk about wrestling.
Let's do the weird, odd news.
Again, okay, and more sports.
No more sports.
Just one other thing.
Jesus Christ.
This is a big thing, though. The Cleveland Browns deactivated in 1996.
What does that mean?
They got rid of the Cleveland Browns. They went away. They lost their team.
And then they came back later?
They took that team, and they shut down the stadium, and all the fans were upset and furious,
yeah.
And they moved to Baltimore and became the Baltimore Ravens.
Well, then how did they come back?
Because Cleveland had a contract with the NFL that said they will always have a team. If they move, they'll get another team. So they got an expansion team in 99.
But it didn't get one right away.
No, so it was like 3 years without football in Cleveland.
Mm.
And that was crazy because Cleveland fans are crazy fans. Because they're terrible, and they've been terrible ever since. But they go to all those games.
Yeah.
And I went to a game the last season of the old Browns.
Yeah.
And I sat in the dog pound.
In Cleveland?
In Cleveland, yeah. And the dog pound is like this section of rabid, crazy fans,
yeah.
Supposedly. And there was a guy in there called the Sumo Dog. He was a big, giant, fat man, and he had the word Sumo Dog painted because the dog pound is the Cleveland Dogs, is kind of what they are.
Because
they don't really have a mascot because
the brown
is just a color. And poop.
Yeah.
So it had a big thing that said Sumo Dog on his gut,
mm-hmm.
and his belly button was like the size of a
gross.
Like a large fruit bowl. It was huge. But here's the grossest part. Women were lined up to drink beer out of his belly button.
That's so disgusting.
Like gorgeous women were drinking beer out of this fat guy's belly button. He had like a big Browns mask or a dog mask on, so you couldn't
tell.
Are you
sure you weren't at some kind of... strange party.
It was a Cleveland Browns Tampa Bay Buccaneers game.
Sounds like some kind of an orgy.
And we were staying at the same hotel as the Tampa Bay Buccaneers, and I met Jim McMahon. So
all right.
There we go.
Then what?
Now we'll get into some crazy stuff.
Okay.
The Kentucky Derby horse winner. And I know you want to guess because you're always like, let me guess. I think I know all horses. So go ahead, guess.
Honey?
Yeah?
I am going to shoot you if you make me guess the horse names anymore.
FBI? CIA? Did you hear that? She did
Just say it.
Grindstone.
God, that's a dumb name. They got a lot of stupid names.
That was stupid. Thunder horses. Gulch was pretty good. You got to admit
that's
that.
A bad name too.
Thunder Gulch. Yeah. I got Thunder Gulch painted on the side of my Prius now. All it's right. Such a cool name.
1996, y'all. 1996.
If this is true, this makes me respect him more. I have to admit. Tom Cruise sent letters and gifts. Oh gosh, maybe this is actually sinister. I just started reading this line. Maybe this isn't so great. Because at the beginning, it's not going to sound great. Oh, God. I hope this isn't terrible. Tom Cruise sent letters and gifts to the boy who originally played the little boy in Jerry Maguire.
Oh.
But he was replaced by Jonathan Lipnicki because he just didn't want that first actor to go to the movies, look at the screen, and think he'd failed. I wanted him to love movies his entire life.
So he sent him letters and gifts?
Letters and gifts, yeah. So now it kind of sounds like he's hitting on him.
Yeah, a little bit.
Yeah, that's not why I read it. I really thought, I was like, what a nice thing to think about this poor kid who was replaced.
I mean, maybe it was an honest.
Maybe it was.
Who knows, but.
You know, you gotta just assume everybody's.
I could see it either way, though, I have to say.
Yeah, I mean, I hope he's not. Oh, God, that's just not.
1996. 1996, y'all.
Yeah.
This doesn't seem that long ago to me. Richard Jewell, remember him?
Yeah, from Survivor.
No.
Oh, that's Richard Hatch. Oh, wait, he was the Atlanta bombing guy.
Do you still think that Drew Barrymore married Michael Jackson?
No.
That was the best.
It was just, all right.
You really thought Drew Barrymore married Michael Jackson?
Like, I know.
You've gone through your life thinking
that? No, I didn't go through my life. It was a momentary lapse.
But how do you get Drew Barrymore mixed with Lisa Marie Presley?
They kind of look alike a little bit. A little bit.
Yeah, but I mean, Lisa Marie Presley was famous for just being Elvis's daughter.
I mean,
All right. Quit. Richard Jewell, a security guard.
He was the one who, the Atlanta bombing, they thought he did it.
He became a short-term national hero when he saved hundreds of people by spotting a bomb at the 96 Olympics. He was later wrongly accused of the crime, enduring an unfair trial by media, which took a toll on him personally and professionally.
Yes.
Oh, gosh. I didn't realize that's how that ended up.
Yep.
That poor guy. I wonder.
He was villainized.
Yeah, I wonder what his.
Or vilified, I guess.
Vilified. I wonder what he's up to now.
He probably killed himself or something. I mean, that's how those things end.
Don't you think it would say that? I hope. Maybe he's happily married.
That would be great.
Maybe
he probably had to change his name.
Maybe he has a nice, happy.
I wonder what Richard Hatch is doing these days.
Orrin Hatch?
No, Richard Hatch, the Survivor guy that I thought it was at first. He would be naked on the beach all the time.
He's always naked?
Yeah.
Well, I think now you have to be naked on Survivor or else you can't get on.
That's probably true.
You have to, like. See how many pine cones you can put in your butt.
That's all the show is.
Yeah, I tried out for it. That's how I know.
Yep.
And I can only put four up there. So they were large ones, but still, it wasn't enough.
Not enough.
Theodore Kaczynski,
the
Unabomber. Not Ted Kaczynski.
Well, they call him
Ted. I mean,
Kaczynski.
Timothy Kaczynski. Timothy McVeigh. God. Ted Kaczynski, the Unabomber, was captured in 1996.
That's, right. That's the other one I could have done. I didn't end up doing that one, but I
kind of wish you would have just so I could
learn
the
it.
Difference between the two. And we could tell that story about how one of our friends wanted to be the Unabomber for Halloween. And he, just as he was finishing the sentence, do you think this is too soon or this is in poor taste to be the Unabomber? The door swung open and our friend Matt Pierce walks in dressed as Jesus on the cross with bread in one hand and a bottle of wine in the other hand. He's like,
crown of thorns.
A crown of thorns.
Yep.
And we looked at him and said, no, I think you're good.
Yeah, you're good.
That was the best Halloween ever. So that must have been 96 then. Halloween 96.
Yep.
At the House of
Fun.
That
should have been.
Yep.
I was right.
Okay. The House of Fun was the name of my college house.
Right.
Anyway, Ted Kaczynski killed or injured 23 people in his 17-year spree.
Yeah, he started early.
Oh, I didn't know this 70s. Was like an ongoing thing
yeah,
that he did.
Yeah, he started in the 70s.
He was turned in by his brother David, who recognized the writing style and the content his brother was talking about.
Yeah, he
I wish you would have done this.
He had a phrase in, because he started writing letters to the media, I think it was.
Yeah.
And he in the letter, instead of saying, I'm going to have my cake and eat it too, he said, I'm going to eat my cake and have it too. And the brother,
which is wrong,
recognized that as a phrase that their mother would always say. And and so then, and he also knew that Ted, he was living out in some cabin out in the woods, shitting in a bucket.
Yeah.
And he knew that he was on the edge, so he.
I think it's safe to say if anybody knows anyone who's like living in a cabin in the woods, shitting in a bucket, just go ahead and call the authorities now, because
they're
probably
up to no good.
There's probably something gonna happen.
Yeah.
1996.
Oh, that's why Sublime broke up in '96. Stupid me. I mean, I like Sublime, but I'm not like a Sublime super fan.
Yeah.
You remember any other songs? Can you name any?
Love is what I got.
Isn't that right? Yep, that's what I was thinking too. So, several of Sublime's most well-known songs, What I Got, Santeria, Santeria, Wrong Way, and Doin' Time were not released until after songwriter Bradley Nowell passed away.
Oh, I knew Blind Melon's lead singer passed away. I didn't know Sublime's did.
Yeah, I feel like I knew that at one point, but...
Yeah, maybe I did.
96, I was in such a haze of marijuana smoke.
Yes.
I don't know what was real. I don't know how I graduated college.
Because of me?
Yeah, it is because of you. We'll get to that in the 98 episode.
Yes.
Okay, so we'll talk about that. So we'll just get to it. Just hold your...
Well, we probably shouldn't admit to rampant cheating. They might withdraw your... college degree.
That's true. That's not really cheating.
For me writing papers for you?
Well, we won't put that part in.
1996, y'all.
A man broke into a New Zealand radio station, held the manager hostage, and demanded for the station to play Rainbow Connection by Kermit the Frog nonstop. Police came before it was played. Oh, the poor guy.
Poor guy didn't even
get once.
That's funny. Of all the songs.
That's great. Poor guy. He's probably insane.
Yep.
You think they didn't play because they didn't have it? Like, we
probably
don't have that song.
Yeah.
Because back then, 96, you just had CDs.
You had
CDs.
To have the records.
Yeah.
Yeah, the CDs, I guess.
We don't have that.
Yeah. Yep.
That's great. Play it nonstop. Play Rainbow Connection. Play it nonstop.
Rainbow Connection.
And I want to call Ice Cube and I want a pizza.
That's right.
It's probably the same guy.
Yeah.
I'm going to put a lemon on my face and nobody will see me.
Yep. There's one crazy guy.
Rage Against the Machine.
Yeah.
They came out with album 96, and that's a great album, too. Their first two albums were unbelievable. I mean, anytime they come on, again.
That was an album with the Buddhist monk on fire on the front, right?
That was the first one. 96 was the one with the kid with the, it was yellow with the t-shirt with the R, like the E.
I don't know if I remember.
On his shirt.
That one.
Every time it comes on, I take my shirt off and roll down my windows in the Prius.
That's a little weird.
But Rage Against the Machine. Played Saturday Night Live with host Steve Forbes. Steve Forbes hosted Saturday Night Live? That's crazy. In protest of billionaires like Forbes, they hung two upside-down flags from their stage against the wishes of staff. After a confrontation with SNL stagehands, they were kicked out before the second song.
Really?
Yeah, that's crazy.
Hmm. So they got to play one, though, with the upside-down flags.
Why would you book... Steve Forbes and Rage Against the Machine, who is against everything Steve Forbes stands for.
Yeah.
Like, you're just asking for trouble.
1996, y'all.
Rap star murder in 1996. Who do you think the rap
is
star
Biggie?
Was?
Biggie?
No. Tupac Shakur killed in drive-by shooting.
Yeah.
But I thought Biggie died before Tupac, didn't he?
I thought so.
So I wonder why that wasn't in the thing, but Tupac is. I mean, Tupac is regarded highly as, like, probably the greatest rapper of all time.
Really, you think?
I think so. He's high, but I think he is great, but I think I like Biggie's rhymes better. But I think Biggie's got more that are just funny to me, like fun and funny and hilarious and clever and smart. And but I do like them both. I like both Biggie and Tupac. But I think they're somewhere on an island together just like laughing. Because
it'd be nice to think that.
They were unbelievable. But again, it's that whole syndrome where if somebody dies young, you automatically think they're better than they might be.
Yep.
You know what I mean? Because they didn't get a chance to just grow old in the like look at Robert Plant
it's
now.
Better to burn out the fade away or whatever
they say. That's right. Nobody's buying Robert Plant albums, but he's putting them out. Yeah. This is impressive. Elton John, have you ever heard of him?
Yes.
He was a singer.
I know, honey.
That's it.
That's
what it is.
Okay. See you later.
No, Elton John charted a top 40 single every single year from 1970 to 1997.
Wow. That's pretty impressive.
Isn't it?
Yeah.
Every year?
That's crazy.
That's 27 years.
Yeah.
Every single year. Nuts. A top 40 every... Huh. So he put out an album in 2016 that I listened to, and I don't like any of it.
No.
I don't like... I think there's like three Elton John songs I like.
Me too. There's only like three or four.
1996, y'all.
Charlie Sheen paid $6,537.50 to buy 2,615 tickets to a Major League Baseball game at Anaheim Stadium, hoping to catch a home run ball. Sheen and three of his friends sat alone, 20 rows up, but no home runs were hit that day.
Idiot.
Mary Tyler Moore offered a restaurant $1,000 to sell her a 65-year-old lobster so she could return it to the wild.
Aw, good for her.
Rush Limbaugh then offered $2,000 to eat the lobster.
No. What an asshole.
The restaurant denied both offers and kept the lobster as a mascot.
Well, that's, I guess, a happy ending. I don't know.
Yeah.
What? Rush Limbaugh's such a dick.
He's a piece of garbage.
He is a piece of shit.
Yeah, he's a terrible human being.
He really is.
You think he's ever saved anybody from a fire or anything?
No.
After the release of the 1996 film Scream, which involved an anonymous caller, anonymous killer calling and murdering his victims, caller ID usage tripled in the United States.
Oh, did it?
Isn't that crazy?
Yeah, that is.
Remember that movie?
Yeah. Yep.
You know who's at the beginning of that movie?
Is Lisa Marie Presley?
No.
I know, it's Drew Barrymore.
Yeah. Do you know what a blizzard is? During a blizzard in Allentown, PA, the Orlando Magic, Marilyn Manson, and the cast of Sesame Street Live were all stranded in a hotel together. That could have been some great
That would have been fun
stuff.
Times.
Yeah. That's crazy.
The cast of Sesame Street Live.
Imagine meeting all those people at the ice bucket.
Yeah, that's right.
I'm just getting ice. Top Gun was the lowest priced VHS ever for a major movie when it was released. $27 when others were $30 to $100 because it had a Diet Pepsi commercial before the movie.
Wait a minute. It was $27 for a VHS copy of Top Gun in 1996?
That seems like a shit ton of money,
yes,
doesn't it?
It does.
Like a DVD today costs, what, $5?
I know. And then some things were $100. Some others.
Yeah, $30 to $100 in 96. So that makes me instantly think of Muppet, our good friend Muppet.
Oh, my God.
He had walls of VHS. Like, he bought each one of those for $30.
Oh, my God.
No return on them. He just threw them all away at the end because they couldn't use them.
Yep.
That's terrible. They were that expensive.
Oh, my God. I had no idea.
I never once bought a VHS.
Well, like, no. Why would you buy one? Once you've seen the movie.
Yeah, I never bought a movie. Oh, here's the other actor hero. You know, Tom Cruise saved a bunch of people.
Is this another Tom Cruise story?
It's not Tom Cruise. It's another actor. Another actor, not as douchey.
Okay.
Mark Harmon.
Yeah.
You know who that is?
Yep.
From summer school.
Yeah.
He rescued two teenage boys from a car accident that occurred outside his home. He used a sledgehammer from his garage to break a window and pull the two out of the burning car.
Wow.
Yeah. It's pretty good.
Yeah, that's pretty good of him.
Yeah, I think...
he gets an A.
If it were, say, Howard Hessman, would he have done the same?
Probably.
Johnny Fever?
Yeah, he would have done that.
Yeah, Johnny Fever's pretty good.
Mm-hmm.
If it were, say, TV's Judith Light, would she have done the same?
No.
Do you think she's a bitch?
I don't know.
You know, a lot of people tell me that on the podcast that we are like the podcast version of Judith Light and Tony Danza.
No, nobody said that. All right, what's next?
Paul Reiser and
What's
Helen Hunt.
Next?
Bruce Willis and Cybill Shepherd.
No.
All right. Cost of a Super Bowl ad in 1996.
$1,500,000.
It's only a $1,085,000.
Oh. So it didn't jump much at all from that.
I don't remember what it was in 95, but I know
it's.
Yeah, so yeah, I think they jumped. Oh, 95, we got to jump, and then, oh, we'll just keep it here. Oh. The distinctive sounds of the Martian speech in Mars Attacks. That was a big movie in 96.
Yeah.
It was made by, do you know what it was?
No.
I thought this was just people, so this is surprising to me. It was made by reversing the sound of a duck's quack.
Oh, funny.
Quack, ack, 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 ack.
Yeah.
The English Patient was the big deal.
No.
I still haven't seen that. Have you?
I did. I tried to sit through it, I think.
I don't even know what it's about.
I think it's pretty boring.
I have no idea.
Seinfeld had a big thing about that. Remember when she said she hated it?
Yeah. But it was like 4 hours, wasn't it?
Yeah, it was.
I don't even know what it's about. I still don't know what it's about. Yeah. I don't understand. I try to watch it several times. Every single time I fall asleep.
Well, if you want
to
do your, I'm going to watch every Oscar movie since the Dawn of Time thing, you're going to have to sit through it. You realize that, don't you?
I will do that. But every time I've watched it, every single time I've tried to watch it, I fall asleep or I end up covered in blood.
Yeah, it's weird.
Fargo.
Oh,
about 96.
That's one of those movies. If it's on TV,
you watch it.
You end up watching the whole damn
thing. It's like Shawshank. You just watch it.
Yeah, or Sling Blade.
Oh yeah, it's the best movie ever. Sling Blade is also. So Happy Gilmore came out in 96, and I've never laughed harder in a theater except for Borat. But
yeah.
I remember laughing my
what
anus
happened to you
off
just now.
I'm drinking a lot of beer. I'm drinking a lot of delicious Hop Slam by Bell's Brewery in Michigan.
We have heard that and Hop Slam. More than we need to.
Beautiful. I'm saying, you know, people don't know how good Hop Slam is. Drinking.
All right.
Happy Gilmore's the greatest movie. Oh, right before we go on to your thing, you need to guess the beauty pageant queen murder of 96.
Oh, well, interestingly beauty pageant enough.
Queen. Do you know any beauty pageant queen? There was a beauty pageant queen murdered in 96.
Yes, and her name was JonBenet Ramsey, 6-year-old beauty queen.
She was found killed in her basement.
Yes,
and the killer was never found.
She had won over 24 awards in the beauty circuit at the age of 6. Her father, John Ramsey, was they were filthy rich. They had a 4-story home. He owned Access Graphics, which was later sold to Lockheed Martin. So big
really?
Defense company.
Is yeah. that is that like a marketing company? Like
no.
Graphic design?
Like, it's one of those, it was supposed to be a software company, but it's one of those that you don't really know what they do, but.
So you think it was like, could be illegal activity?
Maybe. I don't know.
Money laundering?
I mean, Lockheed Martin, big defense company.
Yeah,
so.
That's crooked.
Patsy Ramsey was also a beauty queen. That was her mother.
So when she was a kid, she was a beauty queen.
Mm-hmm. And so was her aunt. So was JonBenet's aunt.
So I feel like with beauty queens, like, beauty pageants, and I have a little bit of, I've been around a couple of them.
It's a whole,
it's just a different
world.
Culture. It's a it different is. World. It's a different, but it does strike me that everyone who's doing that and in that has been ingrained in that. Otherwise, I don't think you would just be,
it's so
strange. you wouldn't be a 25-year-old person being like, you know what, I'm going to do, or you wouldn't be somebody who didn't ever do that. Just
well,
be like,
no matter
you know what,
when
I'm
going to
put
6,
my kids in a pageant.
Yeah. You're not, you have no say in the matter when you're 6 years old.
And
to tart your 6-year-old up for some old man to leer at is just gross and weird. And
you're only going to do that
sexualizing
if you do that.
Your child.
Right, and I don't think they think of it like that. Like, I see them, and there's a component to it where they do philanthropy, and they give to homeless people, you know, whatever they do.
Yeah,
they,
but it's still.
And there's a thing to it that's, you know, noble and whatever, but it's just a different world and different culture.
Creepy.
And the big thing is the people that put on the pageants, they make so much money.
Really? Well, Donald Trump was big in
Miss
America pageant. Something's
I looked up online to see to sign up for one, and it's like each contestant pays a whole boatload of money to be in it.
Yeah.
Making so much money off the kids.
That's awful.
Just
so both John and Patsy had a son and a daughter from previous marriages, and John's daughter had died in a car accident 4 years before at the age of 22. So he's got 2 daughters now that are dead. After JonBenet,
but he had lost a previous
daughter
from a car accident.
Mm-hmm, 4 years before.
She was 22 years old, so he was old. They were older when they had these kids.
That's right.
And the wife, had a kid.
Had a daughter from a previous marriage, too.
But she's grown, too?
She's older, too. So the timeline.
American timeline.
December 6th. That was 20 days before her death.
So on December 6th, 20 days before her death, on TV that night was Family Matters.
Yeah.
And on this episode, Steve Urkel is on jury duty, and Urkel finds himself the only person who believes the accused is innocent. And Mars Attacks was the top movie, and No Diggity was the top song, and Pete Rozelle died on December 6th.
So JonBenet was in the Lights of December parade. Mm. She appeared on her own Little Miss Colorado float. So,
while No Diggity is the number one song.
That's right. Then on December 21st, Access Graphics had their first $1 billion year, and they had a very public party.
Oh, that a big, huge party. So anybody who went to this party at Access Graphics was missing the Walker Texas Ranger Christmas special on CBS, where Walker tells children a Christmas story about a Texas Ranger from 1876. And Chuck Norris gave Christmas to the world.
Oh,
and so anyone at this party was missing that.
Missing that Walker, Texas Ranger.
Because there weren't DVRs then.
No, you're right.
I mean, you could set your VCR, but nobody knew how to do that.
So then on December 23rd, the Ramseys had a Christmas party at their home.
Yeah, while Walker, Texas Ranger was on.
And no, that was 21st. It was Walker, Texas Ranger.
Oh.
23rd, the Ramseys had a Christmas party at their own home.
Oh, what about the...
That was the Access Graphics holiday party.
But nothing happened at that party?
No, I'm just telling you what the events that... Like, where... JonBenet was in these public places.
She was at all these. Oh, JonBenet. The little girl was at that.
Yes. And so then on the 25th.
Oh, at the same. That was a Monday. The 23rd. The
23rd is they had a party
at their house. On a Monday night, they had a holiday party at their house. Well, I guess it was everybody's
Christmas.
Out of school. Because on that, if they had flipped on the TV, they would have saw that Monday Night Raw was on.
You're there watching that.
And Triple H, Hunter Hearst Helmsley, defeated Mark Miro to retain the WWF Intercontinental Championship. And it actually took place at the Ice Palace in Tampa, Florida.
Okay. On December 25th, they go to a Christmas party at a friend's house. And then, On Christmas Day, they go to a Christmas party at a friend's house with their kids. So then they come home a few hours later, and JonBenet was last seen alive at 10 p.m. that night.
By the time they got home, they left the party at probably 10 p.m.
No, she was last seen alive at 10 p.m. They put her to bed.
Well, according to them.
Right. At 2 a.m., a neighbor heard a scream from a little girl, and she made a note of it and kind of went back to bed. Which is a weird thing to do, but she did.
And these are giant houses in a rich part of area, right? So, these are giant houses that are kind of close together, or are they far apart?
I think they're farther apart.
Yeah.
And then at 5:30 a.m., the Ramseys wake up because they're going to catch their private flight to their vacation home in Michigan.
Oh, yeah, that's nice. Yep. That's what you do.
And at 5:45, the ransom note is found. Now, the ransom note is 3 pages long. It's the longest note in American criminal history.
Three pages.
It was found on the stairs. Right, here's what it says. Mr. Ramsey, listen carefully. We are a group of individuals that represent a small foreign faction. We respect your business, but not the country it serves. At this time, we have your daughter in our possession. She is safe and unharmed, and if you want her to see 1997, you must follow our instructions to the letter. You will withdraw $118,000 from your account. $100,000 will be in $100 bills, and the remaining $18,000 in $20 bills. Make sure you bring an adequate-sized attaché to the bank. When you get home, you'll put the money in a brown paper bag. I'll call you between 8 and 10 a.m. tomorrow to instruct you on delivery. The delivery will be exhausting, so I advise you to be rested. If we monitor you getting the money early, we might call you early to arrange an earlier delivery of the money and hence an earlier pickup of your daughter. Any deviation of my instructions will result in the immediate execution of your daughter. You will also be denied her remains for a proper burial. The two gentlemen watching over your daughter do not particularly like you, so I advise you not to provoke them. Speaking to anyone about your situation, such as police or FBI, will result in your daughter being beheaded. If we catch you talking to a stray dog, she dies. If you alert the bank authorities, she dies. If the money is in any way marked or tampered with, she dies. You can try to deceive us, but be warned, we are familiar with law enforcement countermeasures and tactics. You stand a 99% chance of killing your daughter if you try to outsmart us. Follow our instructions and you stand a 100% chance of getting her back. You and your family are under constant scrutiny, as well as the authorities. Don't try to grow a brain, John. You are not the only fat cat around, so don't think that killing will be difficult. Don't underestimate us, John. Use that good southern common sense of yours. It's up to you now, John. Victory, SBTC. And that's the end of it.
What?
Nobody knows.
Nobody knows what victory or SBTC is?
No, nobody knows what that means. There's speculation about all kinds of shit, but nobody knows what it means. So, there's a lot of weird things. Like, John Ramsey is not Southern. That's one thing. Patsy was, but John wasn't, so that was kind of weird.
What was kind of weird?
That they said, use your Southern common sense.
Oh.
But the other thing is that the 118,000...
Wait, where did this happen?
Colorado. And the other thing is $118,000 is like a weird amount.
Yeah.
It's pretty small, but he had just gotten a $118,000 bonus. That was how much his bonus was that year.
Right.
So that note was found, and that at
his bonus was $118,000.
Yep. And
people get bonuses that big?
Yep. People do.
A bonus.
So at 5:52 a.m., Patsy calls 911. So from 5:45, they find the ransom note. 5:52, she calls.
I'm sorry, I'm just feeling so insignificant.
I know, after that, $118,000.
Go ahead. What happened?
All right. So after the 911 call, then the Ramseys call friends.
So they called 911 immediately when they got the note. Yeah. They didn't follow the ransom note that says don't call anyone.
Right.
They just called.
Yep. And then at 6 a.m., the police arrive. And then their friends that they had called arrive after that. But then the police let them come on in, and so they start contaminating the crime scene right away. And the police did a piss-poor job in this whole thing, contaminating the crime scene. They let...
And as police normally do. Yeah.
So by 7:30, John Ramsey had already collected the $118,000, and that was a piece of cake, which, maybe that was why it was a low amount, so that they knew that he could get it very quickly or something. By 8 a.m., the police call victims' advocate group to come and counsel the Ramseys, and so they come over, and they further contaminate the crime scene. Not only that, they actually cleaned the kitchen and like sprayed it down and stuff. This victim's advocacy group.
Why?
I don't know. But
everyone just bought it hook, line, and sinker. Yes. They just all thought this was a real thing.
Yep, that's right.
Which it still might be, right?
But
we still don't know.
If it's a real thing, they're contaminating a crime scene. If there was a stranger in there.
Somebody broke in. They know that.
Yeah, why are they doing that? So then right before 10 a.m., the police finally seal Jean-Benet's room. And the only place in the crime, and that was the only place in the whole, that where the whole crime took place that was contained. So then 10 a.m. comes and goes, and there's no phone call. Like they said in the note that they would be calling
right
between 10 and 1, or between 10 and 1, and 10 a.m. comes and goes, and no one mentions it. No one is like waiting by the phone, and there's no ransom call. So then they leave at 1 a.m. There's only one cop left at the crime scene, and it's this rookie cop.
Rookie cop, throwing up everywhere.
So the cop decides to tell John to search the house again, top to bottom, and in her words, it was like to keep his mind off of things, to give him something to do.
But this is also a giant house where it takes time to search, and a child could be lost because it's so big.
Yeah,
I mean,
he goes instead of top to bottom. I guess he decides he's going to do bottom to top, so he goes down into the basement.
Bottom to the top, to the top, to the bottom.
And he finds her in a basement room.
Oh, he finds her in the basement. And she's actually there, murdered already.
And she's in a room in the basement. She's got duct tape over her mouth.
Oh, she's alive?
No, she's dead.
She's dead, yeah.
She's got duct tape over her mouth. Her hands are tied behind her body, and a garrote was around her neck.
A what?
A garrote. It's a, you take a cord, and you tie it to a stick of some sort, and then you twist and pull, and it strangles somebody.
Oh, jeez.
And it was...
Well, that's how I'm going to die, America. Amy's going to kill me.
The garrote, the stick part of the garrote was a broken off paint, one of Patsy's paintbrushes, because she would paint.
Yeah.
And that was all downstairs, and so they used the paintbrush, and that's how they made the garrote. Not the cord, but the paintbrush part.
So, I mean, maybe I'm getting ahead of us here, but what would be the father's motivation? They have money.
I know.
Why would they want to kill their daughter?
They said he was sexually abusing her. I don't know.
So why would he want to kill her?
I'm not sure.
If he liked doing gross shit like that.
Yeah, I don't know. So John immediately takes the tape off and he grabs
her.
Maybe she was gonna tell somebody. Maybe.
Or maybe he thought so or something. Or maybe he thought somebody was finding out, maybe.
It could be. But he he's handling her, the body and everything, and then they...
Which you would if you were innocent.
That's right.
And you found your dead child.
Of course, yeah.
You wouldn't be thinking about anything other than just panic and please somehow come back to life, because you would just go into another world. Because
And then the cop brings the body upstairs, and then Patsy comes in, and she's going nuts, and so the body gets all contaminated with... all these people.
And this is at what time of day?
1 o'clock in the afternoon.
In the afternoon?
Mm-hmm.
So it's way the next day.
Yeah, they didn't find the body till then.
Oh.
They had been in the basement
and
they had
been up all night.
They had searched the house, but didn't do a good enough job, I guess, because the first time they searched, the police didn't find anything. So
that's weird.
Then,
how do you search a whole house and not...
I know.
That's weird.
It is weird.
I don't get it. I mean, we've watched so many things on this, and I don't...
So the other thing that was weird was the ransom note was written using a legal pad and a pen from their house. So whoever wrote the ransom note,
they're not gonna
sat
just,
down and wrote a three-page ransom
in their house.
In their house.
While they were all sleeping.
I mean, unless the guy broke in while they were at that party and wrote the note waiting, because that would have been a couple hours to wait. And because one of the theories I heard is if you're caught breaking in and you have a ransom note on you, then you can get charged for kidnapping even if you hadn't done it. But if you get caught breaking in without that, it's just a B&E and you can go and spend a couple days in jail and be done. But you know what I'm saying? So maybe that whoever did this, if it wasn't them, whoever did this, waited and wrote the note in the house so that they wouldn't get, in case they got caught.
So if they got caught, the note wasn't already on
them. It wasn't on them. Right. So
I didn't know that was ever a thing.
Yeah. So the other thing was the handwriting handwriting experts have said that the handwriting was an 85% match to Patsy's, but the note was written in a Sharpie, which that can distort the nuances of handwriting.
Yeah.
And so...
I could see that.
It makes it kind of hard. So the investigation. The homicide detective that was assigned to the case, this was his very first homicide case.
Oh, another rookie?
Yeah, another rookie.
He's barfing
and
everywhere.
The DA and the DA and the homicide detectives hated each other, so they didn't get along and they didn't cooperate.
There's no room for infighting, you know.
I know it.
You never. Now, everyone listening to this, take a minute and pause and think about the person at work who you don't get along with. You're not serving your customers right. Just bury the hatchet and tell Peggy that you respect her and you forgive her and just make it all right.
So. The other thing that was suspicious about the Ramseys is they immediately lawyered up and they hired their own private detective and their own PR firm.
Yeah, that seems weird.
Well, why would you want a PR firm?
Well, I mean, that's weird, but I think, again, the extremely rich are weird.
Yeah, they are.
Because they're not living in reality. They don't know how the rest of the world works or lives or anything. Yeah. So they... I think they're just in a different universe. Just, I mean, part of that whole Michael Jackson, not Oprah, Whitney Houston and everything, part of that is tons of money and not, because once you have tons of money, you're not in reality anymore.
Right.
You're in a different world. Yeah. So I'm not saying they didn't do it or anything like that, but who knows what the hell they were thinking. They're crazy rich people.
Yeah. Well, and the lot of people, you know, with that whole thing with Patsy's handwriting matching the
right.
note. She was not the brightest bulb in the universe.
Well,
and a lot of people would say that that note was way too well written to have been hers.
Because she wasn't too quick. She probably misspelled a lot of words normally.
But the weird thing about the note is it sounds, and this is something I've heard too, it sounds like somebody who watches a lot of movies. Like all that stuff about she, you know, you do this, she dies. You do that, she dies. It's like it's somebody's trying.
It sounds like
hard.
It's written by a movie. Yeah.
Like it sounds like, it just sounds weird. It doesn't sound like a real ransom note. If it was them and they write this note.
What's their motivation to kill her? Why would they want to kill
her? Unless
it
was an accident.
Oh, but like you said, he was attacking her or raping her. So maybe he was like abusing her and then hurt her.
But why wouldn't they, if... Like, they were in this big house, and there was all these woods around. Why would they hide the body in the house, in the basement? There's all these other places they could have hidden the body. Like, if they're going to write a ransom note, they know the police are going to come over and search the house.
Well, if you were a kidnapper or a murderer, and you're going to try to extort money from them, why would you leave leave her in the basement? You know?
I mean, it makes me think somebody was trying to frame him, or somebody was trying to ruin his life or something. Because... Think about it. Like, why would you?
Wasn't there a rumor that she was trying to set him, the mom was trying to set him up because of something?
I think so.
Or something, because then she died, right?
She did die, and he remarried. And
he
married the Natalie Holloway's mom.
Yeah, somebody else who had a tragedy like that. And I know there's a lot of things we've watched on this, and every time I watch it, I'm kind of swayed a different way.
Yeah, I know. Because they always have the show always has an opinion, you can tell.
Yeah, and I always thought, always growing up with this being from 96, this was always on. Those of you who were millennials who weren't alive then or were tiny and didn't pay attention to the world, every tabloid had JonBenet this, JonBenet that, JonBenet this, and JonBenet that. And the pictures are friggin' creepy. But
I mean, a little girl. She's a beautiful little girl.
Right.
But she's got all this
makeup
on.
Anytime you put makeup on a six-year-old, it's creepy.
It is very creepy.
And it's so everyone just assumes
the
parents are creeps because they're putting makeup on this little girl. And they're, you know.
That's right. Well, and
but it's a different world. The pageant world, that's what they do. There's little children in makeup. And it's a whole different world.
And there's really no evidence that points to either of them. There's really no hard evidence that points to the parents.
Yeah.
Sometimes
I'll watch these. They're innocent. They're innocent completely. Yeah. And other times, they did it.
Well, there's DNA under her nails and in her underwear that doesn't match anybody in the family.
Really?
But it's touch DNA, which is not as reliable as the other kind of DNA. So.
But if it's in her underwear...
Right.
Why would she have anyone's DNA in her underwear? She shouldn't have
anyone's.
Unless
it was the manufacturer's. I don't know. That's another theory I heard.
Touch DNA, say, is a different kind?
Yeah, because it's just from touching. It's like the sweat from your hands touching something. But so it's not like blood
or
semen.
What are the chances that she was wearing a brand new pair of underwear?
Yeah, I don't know. I don't know. And then the other thing was there was no duct tape. There was no cord. And
Did she have duct tape on her mouth?
In the house is what I'm saying. Like the autopsy, they also found that she had been stunned with a stun gun.
And that's right. I remember that
and
coming up.
There was no stun gun in the house found. There was no cord found that was like the one around her neck. And there was no duct tape found anywhere in the house. So what would they have done with that stuff? Like, why would they get rid of that stuff and not get rid of the body?
You know who did it? I figured it out just now.
Who?
The rookie cop. They have stun guns. Who's going to have a stun gun other than a cop?
It doesn't make any sense.
It's got to be police. Because look, why would they not find the body and do a thorough search?
Yeah, that's true.
Unless they knew where it was.
That's true.
And whoever said, I searched the basement.
Yeah.
That's your suspect right there. Rookie cop. He's barfing. He's got a stun gun.
Who's barfing?
Rookie cops always throw up.
So there's a theory. Okay, so here's the theory that...
The cop did it. I just figured it out. Man, I'm a genius. This podcast has made me a better detective.
I think you're right. This is the theory that the guys on last podcast on the left kind of threw.
Oh, here we go.
And this makes a lot of sense to me. So even though we talk about them a lot.
You do. You're clearly in love with the last podcast on the left guys.
So this is the theory that when the Ramseys were at the Christmas party, someone broke into the house and then wrote the note while he waited for them to return. And then waits till they're asleep. Goes up to JonBenet's room.
So he's in the house when they come home.
Yes.
He's like hiding somewhere in the house.
And then he goes up to her room and he stuns her. And then he carries her down the stairs and lays the note down on the stairs.
Right.
Then he takes her down to the basement. He makes the garrote out of the cord he brought and Patsy's paintbrush. And then while he's strangling her, she wakes up and she screams.
So she's asleep the whole time.
Because she died by blunt force trauma to the head. So while he's trying to strangle her, she wakes up, screams, and then he bashes her head in with the stun gun and escapes through the basement window.
So he panicked.
Yeah, because she's screaming. And because
but he was trying to kill her anyway.
He was, but it takes a lot of strength to kill somebody with a garrote, I guess, and it takes time.
You know that you're going to kill me.
No. Another weird thing that happened was on the 27th, Patsy was talking to a friend and she said, could you fix this for me? We didn't mean for this to happen. Which is a weird thing to say.
Fix what?
I guess the whole situation. I don't know.
They didn't mean for this to happen.
I mean, maybe that just means they deep down inside knew that by tarting her out to the world.
That somebody was going to do this?
Yeah. Or, I don't know. Then there's theories that because they had another son named Burke who was
right.
10.
That was a big theory too. That he was like autistic or something, or
no,
he had some behavioral issues, or
I don't think
socially awkward. There was something.
Well, he stayed in bed throughout the whole morning when the police came and everything. He stayed in his room and he stayed in bed, and so there's theories that he accidentally killed her or something.
And they were trying to
cover it up. Yeah.
Right.
So that is the story.
And he's now like a CEO or a financial, like, isn't he? Or like a,
I don't know.
He's like an accounting guy at some firm or something, I thought.
Oh, yeah. I don't know.
It was one of the shows we watched.
But that is the story of JonBenet Ramsey murder.
That's it, huh? That's all you
it.
Got?
That's
you
don't,
you haven't
got.
Solved it?
I didn't solve it.
Well, I did. It was a cop.
I don't know. Why would a cop do that, though?
Well, the motive is, well, he was probably hired.
Hired. By. See, I think
hired goon.
Hired goons. Hired I think the goon. whole connection to Lockheed Martin.
There's got to be something
fishy
there with a big
that's
money
a defense,
thing. Yeah,
like government stuff, and I just think that's.
And maybe he was. Maybe he had information.
Yeah,
you know,
or,
the dad,
or,
and they thought he'd.
Yeah.
Or there's just some creep.
Well, they use his name, his first name in the ransom note. It's kind of weird how they, you know, don't try to, you know, use your brain, John, and like I don't know.
Yeah.
There's the ransom note is the most interesting part of the whole thing to me because it is bizarre.
Yeah.
The way it's written is bizarre, and then what in the end? What does that SBCT mean and victory and all that? Like, what does all that mean?
Well, I'll tell you what. I'll be Googling that for the next 17 weeks trying to figure it out.
Trying to figure out the solve the murder. So that is 1996 in a large nutshell. So do you have any corrections and apologies?
Corrections and apologies.
One correction apology that I have is I did a lot of research on this, actually, something we said last episode.
Yeah.
I said that millennials, a lot of millennials really find Larry King attractive and want to bang Larry King and think about Larry King and who's the guy that he kissed?
Brando.
Marlon Brando. Turns out I went back and I interviewed a lot of millennials and none of them want it. None of them think that's attractive.
You didn't interview anybody.
I did. I interviewed a bunch of millennials.
You didn't do that.
I did.
You're full of shit.
Corrections and apologies.
This is an apology. Oh, okay. Not a correction. This is an apology.
Definite apology.
Yeah. I'd like to apologize to twins.
Yeah, you were a little rough on the twins.
Yeah, I listened to it again, and it was, I really said, I believe I said the words that all twins are freaks.
And
I don't really mean that. I have a lot of friends that are twins. I have a lot of colleagues that are twins. It's a weird number of twins that I work with, too. I really have nothing against twins, so I really don't think they're freaks. I just think it's a little fucking weird that they were...
you're digging your hole again.
It's just fucking weird that part of you is out in the world doing other things, and they're part of you. It's like, like if my spleen just... left the house and just went and worked at Arby's, you know?
Yeah.
To me, I just can't fathom having another extension of me. Because
you've got some very good friends that are twins.
I do, a lot of them.
The Briggsies.
I love those. And I would take a bullet for either one of those two.
And I'm going to call them up and tell them what you said about twins.
Well, they better listen to the fucking podcast, you damn Briggsies. And if you're not listening, why aren't you listening, Briggsies? And I apologize for saying what I did about you guys, about twins.
Well, I still can't tell the Briggsies apart half the time, so.
And they're not even...
identical, you
identical.
Mean. Nobody cares about this.
Anyway, we have I have twin friends named Ice and Duncan, and they're the Briggsies, and everybody loves them. And they better be listening. And listen, Ice and Duncan, get your iPhones out and rate the goddamn podcast. Give us 5 stars, you
Everybody
assholes.
Do that. Everybody do
Everybody
that.
Do it. I did have a buddy of mine from work. He tried to do it, and I wouldn't let him submit it. Like, he tried to put it in. So it's Apple, get it fixed.
That's right.
We have spinoff podcasts in mind already.
Yes.
I got one that is just like interview
all
people.
Sports and wrestling.
No, I have one idea where I interview people and I'm just like, hey, who's your favorite wrestler? I have another one where I talk to old ladies about the depression.
Oh, my God. These are all terrible ideas.
I have one where I just show people my gut. All right, everybody, ladies and gentlemen, thank you for listening. We really do appreciate you. I mean, a lot of this is just joking, hyperbole, but really we care about you all. Like, we want to kiss all of you.
Yep.
On the lips with tongue.
All right.
But thank you for listening, and this has been episode 7 of American Timelines. We're proud to call you our fans and our listeners, and we care about you.
Get out of here, Chuck Berry.
Get out of here, Chuck Berry. Yo, we don't eat beats because we too busy dropping them. Sucker MCs are at my feet because I keep chopping them up just like Dana Carvey do with the broccoli. I'll explain the rules kind of like I was at Hockey League. Rule number one is serve breakfast all day. I need some sausage, biscuits, I need a breakfast parfait. Rule number two is there ain't no more rules. You don't know what to do. You're acting like a fool. Better back up off me, dude. And wipe up off that drool because I got chunks of sweet punks like you in my stool. Chucking maple syrup, but that shit's just America. This research makes no warranty, guarantee, or accuracy, or sufficiency of the information featured in this podcast. The information and opinions in this podcast are for general information only and for entertainment purposes only. And any reliance on this information provided in this podcast is done at your own risk. This podcast should not be considered good. History for Jerks does not endorse, approve, recommend, or certify any information, product, process, service, or organization presented or mentioned in this podcast. Information in this podcast should not be referenced in any way to imply such approval or endorsement. The third-party material or content of any third-party site referenced in this podcast do not necessarily reflect the opinions, standards, responsibility, or liability for the accuracy or completeness of the content contained in third-party materials or on third-party sites referenced in this podcast. History for Jerks expressly disclaims any and all liability or responsibility for any direct, indirect, incidental, special, consequential, or other damages arising out of any individual's use or reference to, reliance on, or inability to use this podcast or the information presented in this podcast. Everything in this podcast could be complete and total bullshit.